Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello and welcome in to another edition of the PHNX Feedback Podcast right here on PHNX. My name is Derek Montilla. Of course, I am occasionally known as your mayor of PHNX. This maniac next to me is occasionally known as your vice mayor and my thunderstick, the one and only Jesse Friedman. And Jesse, we saw Zach Gallen make his Cactus League debut today. Of course, I want to overreact to it, but I'm not going to. I'm going to try to stay calm. And let's talk about Zach Gallen making his debut today.
Yeah, it was all right. The box score won't impress you necessarily. Two innings, two hits, two runs, two walks, two strikeouts. Lots of twos. Interesting stat line for Zach Gallen. What was also interesting is that Torrey Lovello said before the game that Gallen would throw three innings, 45 pitches, and then Gallen went out and threw two innings. We kind of figured that was because he had a longer first inning, threw 36 pitches total. But then Lovello corrected himself after the game and said that two innings was actually the plan all along. So I think Lovello just misspoke there. Two innings from Gallen today. Was he great? No. But does it matter? Also, no. Probably no.
Oh. What matters is that we had to drive all the way out to Surprise. That's what matters.
I've spent over 2 hours in my car today, Derek,
Let me get started on Surprise. Can we build a goddamn loop out to the ballpark? Just some sort of connecting loop, the 404 or something, comes off of the 101, just hits over there on Parkside, and comes back. Because I'm tired of this shit. 30 minutes for 8 miles is an unacceptable amount of time for me, and that seems commonplace for some of you poor folks that actually live there in Surprise. No knock to you guys. You guys are good people. You just live in a town that's entirely too slow for my taste. And I, again, you had to drive through Sun City. Again, the only city in America where children are actually banished from living in. That's a real thing. That's not a Disney story. That is something that happens to exist in this town.
But you mean like certain neighborhoods in Sun City, right? Like you can't just have a whole town where children aren't allowed,
there's
right?
There's a town where you can't dance, Jesse. There's a town that you can't have children live in. And it is Sun City, Arizona. But Zach Gallen didn't mind pitching in Surprise at all. In fact, I think
he did kind of mind pitching in Surprise.
Well, yeah, because none of us want to drive out there. But Zach Gallen actually thinks he's pitched in Surprise way more than he has, because this is what he had to say today about pitching in Surprise.
Which one was that?
The very first one.
I have them called.
Okay, I don't know what you have them called.
It's probably Gallen on first start would be my guess.
I feel like if I think back for as long as I've been here, I think I've made more starts at this field than I have at Salt River. It would be close if you looked at it. I feel like I pitch here all the time. Felt about what I thought it was going to feel like. It's always, first one always against a different uniform is what it is. But I feel like I got some good work in. I felt like kind of stuff I've been working on, translated. Obviously, it's not in full season, mid-season form, but I felt pretty solid for the most part. I mean, only the walk to Carter. It's pretty much the only at-bat that was probably a little frustrating. Everything else I felt pretty solid about, locating pitches and stuff like that.
Groundhog Mama's asking us if we read Craig Morgan's article about complaining about the drive to sporting events in the Valley. Yes. Yes, I did.
And he was talking about us.
Yeah. Gallen, of course, has not, in fact, started more games in Surprise than he has at Salt River Fields. That would be crazy if that was a true statement, right?
Yeah, in fact, is a little bit crazy. But, I mean, in his defense, this was his third start at Surprise Stadium in his Major League career, which feels like kind of a lot. The Diamondbacks don't play a ton of games there in spring training. I guess it's usually one every spring training. He has pitched seven games at Salt River Fields in his Diamondbacks career. This was his third game at Surprise Stadium. So he has pitched significantly more games at Salt River Fields. But yes, I still understand where he's coming from. I think two of those Salt River Fields games were technically road games against the Colorado Rockies, for whatever that's worth. Maybe it's a little bit more imbalanced than you would think. But this is in fact blasphemy on the part of Zach Gallen. he has not thrown that many games at Surprise Stadium.
Well, he has thrown more than we thought he has, because even though this was his Cactus League debut, he has been throwing at Salt River Fields. He has been working out, so like he does feel like he's further along than just making his first start essentially today.
Yeah, he's thrown a lot of lives. He's thrown a lot of lives on the backfield. So
he joked that there's secret games that we don't know about, right?
Yes, yeah, yes, he did.
I don't know if he was joking or not.
I think he was joking. He talked about how, you know, in the past he's only thrown a couple of lives entering his first spring training game. This time I think he's thrown five, possibly more than that. So he has faced Diamondbacks hitters on backfields quite a few times, but it's different going in and actually facing another team. He also happened to be facing the Texas Rangers, which, of course, you might assume there would be a kind of narrative there. And I guess there kind of was. He wasn't particularly aware that he was pitching against the Rangers until very, very close to when right. the start happened.
Last team he pitched against last year and first team he pitches against this year. And this is actually, I think we have video of him talking about that.
No, I mean, it's spring training. Somebody joked that it's, you know, ironic. It's the last team you face is the first team you face in the spring training. I think it's just ironic, really. It's all another than that, you know.
Had that crossed your mind or not?
No, because honestly, until yesterday, I had the schedule all mixed up. I was like, yeah, I'm throwing Peoria. And Merrill was like, we don't even play. I was like, oh, yeah, that's a good point. I was like, it's Peoria, I think, next time. I just thought I was facing the Padres all up until yesterday about 3 o'clock. So, it didn't even really cross my mind.
Not a lot of time left for Zach Gallen to get ready. I don't feel like there was any sense of urgency on his part or Torrey's part when talking about it. But, you know, Zach did kind of talk about how, like, he doesn't really know when he's ready, which is understandable. Like, he said that with the injury in 2021, he had kind of a weird start, you know, as to when he was ready for that season. Then they had the lockout. So in his career, he doesn't really know right now how many games it's going to take for him to feel ready.
Yeah. I mean, Zach Gallen is a feel pitcher. That's something that we hear him talk about a lot, trying to get feel for his pitches. And it does seem like that is something that can take a while, and it sort of comes and goes. And sometimes even when he pitches extremely well, he still will try to convince you that he didn't have good feel for his pitches. And, you know, last season we did kind of see that manifest itself, I think, in the latter half of the year when, you know, he was trying to convince us through the first half of the season that he didn't have great feel for his pitches. And in the second half, it kind of looked like it. Yeah. The results weren't quite as good. But in terms of just like from a workload standpoint, building up to the regular season, he is going to be kind of pushing against this March 28th deadline, where he will presumably be the Diamondbacks opening day starter. He would make his next start, I believe it will be on the 12th. If you just go 5 days from now, that one would be in Peoria against the San Diego Padres.
That's the one he was thinking of.
And then he would probably start on, I guess, the 17th and then the 22nd. And then his next start after that would be opening day against the Rockies on the 28th. So he has three more spring training outings to get ready for the regular season.
To be fair to Zach, I also do the same thing with East Valley cities. Like, I don't know where Mesa or Gilbert or Chandler is. They all are in the same place to me as far as I'm concerned. They're just grouped into the group I call far too far away from my house in South Anthem, right? So I get it. Like Peoria, Surprise, I don't know what else is over there. Avondale, Maryvale, like all that might as well be the same as far as they're concerned on how far away they live. But Gallen did talk a little bit more about how he knows when he's ready and what kind of how his arm kind of almost drops into a slot, he said. This is what he had to say.
I haven't been able to pinpoint it because we've had the lockout and then I was hurt in 21 and then last year, just like there's a certain point in time when like my arm just is able to kind of drop into its slot per se and everything just feels really natural. But I haven't been able to really pinpoint when that actually happens. It's kind of seemed like COVID year and the lockout year when the spring training was a little bit, not longer, but just a little bit longer time that filled up, I felt pretty good about it. So that was kind of the thought of this year was like, let's start the throwing program a little bit earlier. And then that way we're not, you know, trying to play catch up.
That's a weird like concept to me that you're going to kind of warm up. You're going to build yourself up throwing a ball. And then at some point, your arm is going to drop into a slot and then you're going to be like, ah, there it is. Like, trust me, as an old guy, once again, I know what he's saying metaphorically because that's how like my left ankle is, you know, it's bad. It's shitty. It feels like it's sprained all the time. And then every once in a while, I'm like, oh, hey, there.
You just needed it to drop into a slot.
I just needed it to drop into the slot. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's hard for Zach to put in like exact words the way that he finds feel for his pitches,
sure.
Because it's just a weird thing. I mean, when you are a pitcher who very much depends on this idea of feel, it's kind of an elusive concept for, you know, certainly for us as reporters and also for Gallen himself. Like there, you know, I also asked, what do you do to get feel for your pitches? And he basically just said more reps. You just keep having, you just keep throwing the same pitches over and over again. And as you heard him describe there, eventually it just clicks into place. He hasn't really figured out when that happens exactly. As he outlined there, you know, he's dealt with some interesting situations with the lockout and the COVID year and being hurt in 2021. He hasn't necessarily had a super normal buildup like I guess he has this year, although he really doesn't because, you know, the offseason was so short this time around. But he didn't stop throwing really during the offseason. He took maybe like a week or two off after the World Series and kind of just been throwing ever since the middle of November. And that seems to have served himself well, getting that kind of that early start and trying to get feel for his pitches and make sure that he is ready to go by opening day.
Yeah. Well, Torrey talked about understanding the situation with both Zach and Merrill and that there isn't a lot of wiggle room for them right now for there to be a setback in any way with either Zach or Merrill and not have it impact them being ready for opening day.
Yeah.
And this is what Torrey had to say about that.
Yeah, that's what we kind of sold out to that. I think there's a little bit of wiggle room if there were some to push us back, but they're on a schedule. They've been on a schedule and You got to tighten it down a little bit towards the back end if you're gonna sell out to it the way we did, which we did for a very good reason. You got to really stay tight on the backside, and that's what we're doing right now. But they're on board, and they're gonna pitch on their day. And if there's rain or a situation, we'll still find the time to get them to throw. I think there might be a 1 day spacer there. If something were to happen, 1 day might give us a little creativity. But for the most part, they got to stay on the schedule from here on out.
I mean, it's not a catastrophic situation if they're not ready by opening day. We talked about the fact that they would like to give Merrill Kelly and Zach Gallen some more time. So if it ended up being a situation where Eduardo Rodriguez, for instance, had to start on opening day, that's not the worst scenario considering he...
It's not really lined up to start on opening day.
I know. I'm just saying, like, if something were to happen, it's not like this is a catastrophic situation for the Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of maybe them needing just a little bit more time or pushing them back a little bit. It's not great, but they start the season against the Rockies, and we're just going to throw fucking shade at the Rockies now because we have to face the Rockies on opening day, and we have to face them in our spring breakout game, too. I'm tired.
We have to share a facility with them.
Yeah, we're connected at the hip with this Rockies team. But
I do think there's some validity to what you're saying about throwing some shade at the Rockies and the fact that the Diamondbacks play them on opening day.
I hate it.
If you're in a situation where, like, Zach Gallen's going to be the D-backs opening day starter no matter what, as long as he's healthy, right? Sure. Even if he's not as built up. Yeah. He's going to start that day no matter what. But I think if you're the D-backs, you feel like you can get away with Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly maybe only throwing like four or five innings against the Rockies
and still
having a pretty decent chance to win those games, right? Sure. You open with a four-game series against the Rockies. So presumably it's going to be Gallen, Kelly, Erod, Fott starting all those games. All of those guys are kind of being slow played a little bit. And I think you theoretically should be okay, right? Because they're the Colorado Rockies.
I don't know. Elise is saying it's not like we'd have a bullpen game on opening day if Murder Zach aren't ready. But that sounds like the kind of thing you say where all of a sudden we fast forward to opening day and it is a bullpen game. And I
don't think the Diamondbacks are going to have a bullpen game on opening
day. We're done with those.
But yeah, all that to say, if Zach is only able to give you 85 pitches or whatever on opening day, that's okay. And if it's the same with Merrill on the second day of the season, that's okay too. You can still find ways to win those games. And, you know, hopefully those guys are able to get stretched out early in the season. And the whole point of this is just to save bullets for when it really matters. And a lot of people already believe that spring training is way too long. And Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly are just kind of taking advantage of that a little bit and, you know, not starting to ramp up until a little bit later.
Yeah. And Elise is once again correct when she says, thank goodness we aren't opening against the Dodgers again. Let's go.
That would be different. Yeah, that would be different. Would be like if Zach Gallen can only give you four innings on opening day against the Dodgers, you're having to really piece things together in the bullpen.
Not great. Next thing you know, you have Paul Sewald starting off as an opener in a contract year. Not the only guy, by the way. Paul Sewald, not the only guy in a contract year. Christian Walker returned from his hand injury today. This is a contract year also for Christian Walker. And he felt good. He said that they were taking some precautions with some inflammation, but for the most part, he's kind of been ready and kind of been antsy about it. He never really took any time away. He was just still out there with the guys. Like, he was just still out there with his group. He never really actually – he just didn't hit. He just took that time off and let his hand heal. But Christian Walker, that's a guy that, again, we talk about at times that is kind of underappreciated, but he finally gets the credit he deserves – from the fine folks at MLB The Show, which we're going to talk about here in a little while. Again, Walker, this is a big year for Walker. It really is. I mean, from where his career was at one point to where he is now as far as desirability as a baseball player and the interest of teams and what he could potentially get in his next contract is huge for him personally. Might not be so good for the Diamondbacks, but he talked about today this kind of being a situation that's kind of he was a little too excited about this, but let's hear what he had to say.
It is a fortunate, awesome thing, and not a lot of players get to experience it. That being said, like, there's a lot of time and a lot of at-bats on the table in between now and then, so my focus is the 2024 season. Like, you know, we're here to win a World Series regardless of what happens in the future or what happened in the past. You know, love my experience here, but I'm here for the next, you know, 7 to 8 months, and we're going to make it count.
I don't like that part at the end. I don't like that I'm here for the next 7 to 8 months and we're going to make that. I don't like that. I don't like that.
I knew you were going to freak out about this. But the moment.
I wanted to like explain what he was saying there in the beginning. I wanted to not freak out, but then we get to the end and I freak out every time. Because, he is right. To be in the position where you are in a contract year, you're playing extremely well. You're a player that a lot of teams are going to have an interest in. It is a great time to get to that point. You know, you're the belle of the ball a bit, and you get to have your agent field some offers. You get to decide on some stuff. Right now, what he's saying is all he cares about is the Diamondbacks for the next 7 to 8 months, and everything else after that, that happens then. But, you know, for himself, it's all the benefit in the world for him to play as absolutely at his best this season.
Yeah, 100%. And I don't think we talk enough about what it means for players to reach free agency, to just have the opportunity to be signed as a free agent and like expect a major league contract. Not that many guys get to that point. There are a lot of players in this league, even if they have some success right as they enter the majors, who don't have the longevity in order to reach free agency and still be desired as a major league player, right? You have to reach 6 years of service time. Yeah. That's a long time. And Christian Walker, we talked about this several months ago. one of the greatest waiver claims that has ever been placed in MLB history, right? The Diamondbacks claimed Christian Walker off waivers from the Cincinnati Reds back in March of 2017 when Paul Goldschmidt was still in the organization and still very much doing his thing. And eventually the door opened for Christian Walker to get that opportunity. And my, is he taking advantage of it? He has come in and turned himself into one of the best first basemen in this game.
You're absolutely right. And I mean, it's not to say that they're like, he didn't make us forget about Paul Goldschmidt, but how quickly we found ourselves saying, wait a minute.
Yeah.
This guy, you might not have Paul Goldschmidt anymore, but you kind of have Paul Goldschmidt, you know, still. Like,
you can't replace Paul Goldschmidt, but man, they got as close as you like reasonably could have expected
for as cheaply as they could, right?
Right.
In a very savvy move that ended up bringing us our first baseman who, again, does not get nearly enough credit for his defense. That's something that, again, he does because statistically he's the best defensive first baseman, or at least up there all the time. But I don't think people realize how good he's been for the Diamondbacks in the time here. So,
yeah,
again, I mean, that's a very critical extension that the Diamondbacks need to start thinking about, and most likely won't happen. Most likely Christian Walker at this point, with it having gone this long, will test the free agency market. Hopefully it's a Lourdes Gurriel situation where he does and we're able to just bring him back, right?
Sure.
That would be the best case scenario for the Diamondbacks for sure.
Yeah, he was asked, Nick Pecora wrote a story over at the Arizona Republic about Walker and asked him, you know, have there been any extension talks or anything like that? And he basically said no, not that I'm aware of, or something along those lines. And yeah, we talked a few months ago about what it would look like for the D-backs to extend Christian Walker, what it might cost. And it kind of seemed like there was this disconnect between what like the computers would say Christian Walker is worth and what his actual performance so far has said he would be worth, in a way that it'd be hard to come to an agreement on an extension. But this season's really important for him. Like, for all the success that Christian Walker has had up to this point, he is a little bit on the older side to be reaching free agency. He's 32. He's almost 33. And people are going to want to see him go out and do it again and have another really good season in order for him to really get paid and be a hot commodity in free agency. If he were a free agent right now, Christian Walker would be making a lot of money, but he's got to do it for another year in order for teams to still view him that way a year from now.
I'm going to give you the reason why this needs to happen, why he needs to stay in Arizona. This man can attest to it today. Finally showed him the Walker, 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 single, double, triple Walker video. And he loved it. He loved it. The man loved it. I've been waiting almost a year to show him that video. And there was talk about how good it would sound coming out of the new sound system at Chase Field. And none of these things I'm telling you are lies, folks. These were words out of Christian Walker's mouth. So bring him back, because I need that, like, just one game, right? We're already talking about doing a remix. Cogs wants to do
a cover.
He's asking my permission to do a cover. Absolutely not. The answer is no, Cogs. You have to pay big money for that. I'll tell you that much. But before we do move on, we should talk about Slade Ciccone. He pitched behind Gallen today. Didn't really have a great day, but Lovullo seemed pretty pleased with him afterwards.
Yeah. 2 1/3 innings, 5 hits, 3 runs, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts. So
a lot
not
of work.
Yeah, on paper, the box score numbers aren't going to impress you. But I asked Torrey about him after the game, and Torrey really did have some positive things to say. After Slade's last start in Goodyear, the criticism was that he got away from himself as a power guy and was throwing his secondary pitches a little bit too much. Torrey clearly just wanted him to kind of stop experimenting and just go out there and make pitches, and it seems like he did do that today. Torrey talked about the finish on his fastball and him getting back to really kind of basing his arsenal off the heater and then building off of that. So I think in some ways it was a good outing for Ciccone, maybe better than the numbers would suggest. But yeah, it doesn't exactly not exactly a great day for the Slade Ciccone for fifth starter spot campaign. All in all, I know that the numbers aren't everything, but he did get knocked around a little bit with those 5 hits.
Ryan's asking us to play the song. That's why Jacob's here watching us, because Jacob knows I want to play the song. He knows I'm not allowed to. He's like, we're going to get DMCA'd or whatever. So, no, it's not happening. But go to my Twitter account. You can listen to the song there all you want. Listen to it 100 times in a row. Learn all the words. We'll all sing it together when we're out by the pool. We're having the pool party there on July 31st at Chase Field. That's going to be a mandatory thing. You're going to need to know the words of the song. There won't be chant sheets. I'm letting you know ahead of time. It's very hard to concentrate right now. We're glad you guys are here on the PHNX Sports YouTube channel. Of course, if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet, do so now, because you might miss out on Max getting a tattoo done right after our show. And you can't miss out on that. Sign up for notifications. That way you don't miss all of the insane things that happens in this office that I'm supposed to somehow... I'm supposed to mayor over the top of Saul's GMing, and there's a complicated chain of command there. I don't like to get involved with it, but there is a tattoo artist, our guy Todd, right now. I'm watching him. He's getting ready. He's excited. He's going to tattoo Max, so do not miss that. That's a real thing that's happening. Drop us a like if you're here right now, and don't leave for them. We hang out with us until they start. I'll let you know when it's time to go over there, but... Of course, right now, make sure you're subscribed on the audio podcasting side as well. Don't miss out on that stuff. We love our reviews, so make sure you leave us a review. Also, stop by Circle K, fill yourself up right now. I need some snacks because I'm not leaving this office. I'm going to wrap this show up, and then I'm going to go be a spectator, maybe even a commentator on the Phoenix Rising show. We'll see how that works out. But in the meantime, I might make a quick trip over to Circle K, get myself some snacks. It is America's Thirst Stop, and I do need some gas. So it is some of the cheapest gas I can find in this part of town. Of course, if you join the Inner Circle program for free right now by downloading the Circle K app today, you can save 25 cents off per gallon on your first five fill-ups. You also save 3 cents off per gallon every day after that. You can actually level up and get to a point, I think, where you get 5 cents off per gallon every fill-up. So, I mean,
yeah, I think so.
They're hooking you up over there at Circle K. Terms and conditions apply. Participating locations, visit CircleK.com for details. But when you get that app, all sorts of free snacks, all sorts of free drinks, coffee, ice cream, pizza, all sorts of great stuff in there. So make sure to join the Inner Circle today. Also, maybe after all this action, we can maybe agree on taking a boys trip to Gila River Resorts and Casinos. I don't know, Damon, what are your thoughts? Damon's very exhausted. No. I think he's still anti me being part of that trip, but it's all right. I mean, I'm going to convince
him. He's not the only one.
You son of a bitch. Well, I'm going on my own staycation then by myself at Gila River Resorts because I don't need these guys. I'm going to go there and have a fun time. I will meet complete strangers who I will become best friends with and will get matching tattoos. That's how crazy things get at Gila River Resorts and Casino. Nobody does it better. They have, of course, a state-of-the-art gaming floor with over 800 slot machines. It is a resort, so if you go there for a great night of fun and drinking, you can get yourself a room, hang out there, make it a perfect night, perfect staycation. The dining ranges from upscale to approachable, and right now you can head over to Gila River Resorts and Casinos and let them show you what the next level is all about. You do you at Gila River Resorts and Casinos. Visit playatgila.com for more details, and do not miss some of the wonderful events that we have coming up, like our NFL draft party, right? It's going to be out there at Gila River Resorts.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Indeed. Thank you. Thank you.
It'll be a lot of fun. You got to be 21 or older if you want to show up.
Okay.
But I believe it's $35. Gila River Resorts and Casinos Wild Horse Pass.
All right.
It's going to be electric.
There you go. It's going to be electric. Well, I was all set to be mad. I guess not mad. I was happy with MLB The Show yesterday, and I was ready to be mad today. Because today was the day that MLB The Show 24 dropped their player ratings. And, of course, it instantly draws ire out of me because I know that the Arizona Diamondbacks players are not going to be valued nearly as high as I value them, and that upsets me. Mm. However, I was pleasantly surprised this round around. Maybe it's because the Diamondbacks made the World Series. Maybe they're getting the credit. They do have a cool little celebration video because 24 does have team celebrations, and their celebration video is them just in the pool in the new white jerseys, just completely see-through. At that point, it's wet and it's already see-through material. That's not safe for work, folks. But what is safe for work is these ratings because, man, we got some ratings and these are the Arizona Diamondbacks top five rated players. For those of you listening on the audio side, Zach Gallen has a 91 overall. Corbin Carroll has a 91 overall. Ketel Marte has an 89. Christian Walker has an 88. And Merrill Kelly rounds out the top five with an 83. This is really good.
Yeah.
I found myself only getting mad about one thing, which we will get to, but let's start with the positive. I want to accentuate the positives here. Zach Gallen, Corbin Carroll, 90 plus players. Absolutely great to see.
Yeah, I think that's probably about what I would have said for both of those guys, like somewhere in the low 90 range. Christian Walker, 88. We touched on this earlier. It feels like Christian Walker's agent like reached out to MLB The Show and was like, "This is a contract.
Yeah,
like
we need
to up this a few more points.
Sign bats, sign jerseys, whatever. We'll get it for you."
In no way do I think I don't really think it's too high. It's just that MLB The Show doesn't generally give players who have tons of defensive value the rating that they probably deserve. It feels like it's more based off of like batting average and home runs and that kind of thing, which Christian Walker is pretty decent at those things too. I would have expected him to be more like low mid 80s though.
Merrill, 83, 84. He was an 84 last year and he thought it was totally fine. I remember when they did his reveal.
Christian Walker.
Yeah. He thought that was great. And so I'm sure he's very pleased with an 88. But I mean, if anything, I think Christian Walker probably maybe a little higher than I expected. Everybody else right where I expected them to be. The only issue I have is that I think these are the only player ratings we know up to this point for the Diamondbacks. So we do not know at this point where Gabby Moreno. Can you find that information for me? I think Jesse's trying to.
Think there's a database that has more, but it doesn't. It doesn't match.
That looks like last year's.
Yeah, it does look like last year's.
Yeah.
Someone in the chat is telling us Kevin Ginkle is a 92.
I don't believe that at all.
That would really be something.
He should be.
Big if true.
Maybe you should burn the offices to the ground.
I'd make him a 95. Ryan Thompson, a 94. Paul Sewald.
Just horses in the pen.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. That's where I would give it to. Gabriel Moreno. No Gabby Moreno in the top five. Gabby would be a... lower than an 83. Maybe he's right there, like an 80. Maybe he's like right there in 81.
Yeah, I would.
But I'm ready to burn PlayStation's entire house down if he's in the 70s.
I think that's fair. I think you should probably pursue doing
Damon,
that.
Damon, you free this weekend?
You know I'm in for our
I just wanted to make sure.
Gabriel Always. Moreno is very much deserving of being at least an 80 for sure.
Sure.
I don't know if it's, you know, if it's an 81 or an 85 or whatever it is, but probably north of 80. What he gives you defensively is obviously incredible. Trying to, you know, catching base stealers with Gabriel Moreno, I'm sure, is something that people will get a lot of enjoyment out of. And offensively, I mean, his contact rating has to be pretty high for sure. And, you know, he's a career 290 hitter at this point. And from a power standpoint, we saw a lot more of that at the end of the year. So I guess a lot of it just depends on how much do the MLB The Show people read into the increased power numbers toward the end of the season. If they're looking at the power on the whole in the regular season, it wasn't anything crazy. But there's definitely a case for him to be more in like the mid 80 range than the low 80s.
I do need to have a word with MLB The Show and MLB in general about them being really excited about adding QuickTime events to video games. QuickTime events have been around in video games since the 1980s. I don't know if you guys remember Dragon's Lair, but more importantly, it's not a new thing and you shouldn't really be that excited about it because I think people are kind of over it. That was the only thing that MLB The Show has done in the last, like, I don't know, 5 years that made me think like, huh, that's not nearly as exciting. But that was me going off on my video game nerd tangent. So excuse me for losing all of you guys. I am excited about this, though, because, I mean, why does it matter? I want the Diamondbacks to be very good in this game. I think that's a fair thing. I think that ever since I was a kid, when my team did well, I was so excited to go get the video game the next year. Because once again, showing my age and my video game nerdiness, there was a time where your ratings didn't update online automatically because you were connected to the internet. Yeah, no, you used to just get a cartridge and whatever their ratings were on that game was what they were. So like sometimes when your team was good, that was my year to make sure I bought that the next year was the year I bought that version of the game. That's why for me, I feel like this is absolutely, you know, exciting thing for MLB The Show 24. I can't wait for, you know, not only the additions we talked about yesterday and all the things that they've already added to it, but for the Diamondbacks to be one of the best teams in the game. And I'm sure they won't
be. I'm very curious.
But I'm sure they'll be up there. Like in the National League, I wouldn't be surprised if they're probably the fourth best team in the National League, which seems fair to me.
Yeah, like maybe it goes Dodgers, Braves, Phillies, D-backs, something like that. Yeah, I think it's pretty realistic.
I think that's pretty fair.
Do you think that Merrill Kelly is too low? I'm surprised that that wasn't something you're angry about.
No, I mean, again,
83?
It's because
Damon thinks he's too low.
I think like 85, 86 would have been where I think he should have been at.
Yeah, I mean, I think the stats last year proved that Merrill Kelly was right up there with Zach Gallen. So if Zach Gallen's a 91, I don't know how you would make the case to me that Merrill Kelly is an 83, right?
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I think you and I just talked about this yesterday. Merrill Kelly does not get the recognition he deserves. He's not an underrated player by Diamondbacks fans, but he's an underrated player nationally. So that, again, I think the biggest thing here is there's no surprises. If I was being honest, I think Corbin Carroll's right where he needs to be. I put Zach Gallen even up a little bit more at like a 93. I would put Merrill Kelly higher at like an 87 or an 88, you know, and that's
a lot of people on Twitter thought Cattell needed to be higher.
I think
89.
I think Cattell's.
I think that's pretty fair. You're expecting Cattell to be in the 90s, like, I'm not saying that's outrageous, but that's not, you know, he's a good player. He's a very good player.
You made the case that he could be a better player than Corbin this year. And so far from what we've seen out of him this spring, things are definitely tracking in that way because he's hitting the cover off the ball. But I mean, Cattell's one of those guys, right? Like Cattell's had better seasons when it was less important for the team. And last year, you know, he had a great season, but I don't know how you don't watch him in the postseason and think that guy just made history in a game that's been around for 2,000 years. Maybe we should make him a 90. Like, can we just bump him up that 1 point to a 90? Maybe he deserves that just for the hitting streak in the postseason. I think that there's some people missing here that should be probably right on the fringe, not too much further down. I'm interested to see where Eduardo Rodriguez lands, you know, because he's one of those guys that, again, it's up for interpretation as far as how you see him as a pitcher. And they could value him very highly, or they could see him as kind of being a mediocre starting pitcher. Lourdes better have the purple hair in the game, and it better be out a lot. Like when he walks out to the field, I'm just telling you guys now over there, he doesn't actually wear his hat. He just kind of puts it on the back and lets the front hang out. So that better be in the video game. That's more important to me than the rating, honestly.
Yeah, apparently they've kind of revamped the faces. Like I think that the faces are supposed to look better in 2024 than they have in the past. But yeah, I think Lourdes, like maybe in the low 80s would make sense. Erod, I am also very curious where he winds up.
Yeah.
A lot of times these ratings are more based on kind of the surface level stats, and Erod's surface level stats were really good last year. I mean, he had 3.30 ERA with the Tigers. So, you know, if he were like a 77 or 78 after coming off that would be a little weird.
And also Jock, right? Like, is it going to be based on Jock last year? Or is it going to value Jock?
Yeah. That one before? I kind of understand it being a little lower because his surface stats last year weren't anything spectacular. Sure. So, it'll be interesting to see. They just give us this little appetizer, a little taste. The top five. We'll see what the rest
smart
of them
to
look
do.
Like.
It's smart to do. I don't think that they advertised it enough because a lot of people didn't really know it was going on today. I think that they're trying to make it into a big event, but like just hype it up more. I don't feel like I really saw it much other than yesterday. I saw them kind of talking about it, and I mean, I think a little bit of a teaser there to kind of get us ready for the ratings to drop. It would be cool. These video games, they're becoming more and more important. Like the players love them, you know, everybody that watches the sport kind of gets involved. So it's becoming a big deal. Pedro says, I'm considering getting a PS5 just for this game. That's a great idea. It's also available on day one on the Xbox Game Pass. I'm not receiving any money from Microsoft to tell you this, but I'm just
ads, Derek.
I'm a Game Pass member. So you know what? Max is busy right now getting tattooed. So right now he can't come in and yell at me, but and if you're trying to get it on the Switch, don't. Just go get a better system. I'm just being honest.
Is that a thing? Do they have it on the Switch now?
They try to put games on the Switch that have no business.
Yeah, they absolutely do. Right now, yes.
Of course,
I would love to be able to bet on ratings. We can't do that. But what we can do is we can bet on all sorts of other future bets over at BetMGM. Of course, if you download the BetMGM Sportsbook app right now on iOS or Android and sign up using our code of PHNX, just deposit at least $5 in your newly created account. Make that bet of $5. Once you do, you will receive $150 in bonus bets, regardless of the outcome of your wager. Make sure to stop by the PHNX Bet Show and check that out for all the tips that you need, your guide. And then make sure you check out all of the MLB future bets. Like I said, I'm really digging some of the interesting options out there, including like those head-to-head matchups for home runs and things like that on the BetMGM Sportsbook. So check that out. Of course, again, sign up for that BetMGM and use bonus code PHNX, the four best letters in the alphabet. Place your first bet through the Sportsbook mobile application for at least $5. You will receive $150 instantly and additional winnings regardless of your wager's outcome. Check out the show notes for full details. And now listen to Damon talk about the disclaimer.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 New York. Call 1-800-327-5050 Massachusetts. 21 plus to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP Arizona. 1-800-BETS-OFF Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 Puerto Rico. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Visit BetMGM.com for terms. This promotional offer is not available in New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico. That was
right.
A bad time for
yeah,
me to
no,
take a
it's
swig
all
of
right.
water.
You had to make sure
me.
Your throat was ready to go for the singing. Of course, another great way to save some money is by doing it responsibly with Desert Financial Credit Union. For more than 84 years, Desert Financial has been Arizona's largest, most trusted local credit union, and they've been dedicated to creating exceptional experiences for their community and for their customers. They are all about giving back to the community and sharing success with their members. You can look to Desert Financial for checking and savings accounts, mortgages, loans, credit cards, investment options, and so much more. When you open a free checking account online, you can get $200 in bonuses. Get started by visiting desertfinancial.com/200 today. Well, we talked a little bit about those spring breakout games, and that is happening this weekend, Saturday, March 16th. Is that? No, that's next weekend.
Next weekend.
Next
yeah.
weekend. So we yeah. have a little bit of time. They talked about it being this weekend. That's why I got confused. I think Tori might have been confused too. But anyway.
Someone was confused.
Someone. I'm probably the one that was confused. But the spring breakout games are, in fact, happening next weekend. And it's an exciting time for some of these young players that really didn't get a chance to be seen very much, you know, here in spring training. Not all of the young guys that were here up at camp got a chance to play in those games. And a lot of them have already been sent back down to minor league camp. So, again, these spring breakout games that are going to be occurring all across Major League Baseball, just going to be a fun opportunity to go out and see some of those young prospects that we haven't had a chance to see out in the field much. And, I mean, it includes yeah. all of the Arizona's top prospects. I think we have a screenshot of that, of the roster for that. And okay, no worries. But yeah, I mean, Jesse, excited for that? I know you nerd out on, yeah. on the younger guys, especially the ones that we don't get a chance to see very often.
It's just such a cool idea, I think, from Major League Baseball to do this. And the fact that the Diamondbacks are you know, facing the Colorado Rockies, it maybe yeah. doesn't make the matchup quite as cool as it could be, but
the Rockies are a young, exciting team themselves, right? Like, I mean,
their farm system maybe isn't quite what you'd hope it would be for a team in their state, but yes, I mean, the Rockies the Rockies do have
well, Justin's saying it's bleak to be a Rockies fan. It's pretty bleak.
It's not a terrible farm. It's not a terrible farm system. It's just like not like an elite farm system, I wouldn't say. But yeah, on the D-back side, we get, you know, all the big names. Drew Jones, Jordan Lawler. There it is. Drew Jones, Jordan Lawler is here. Tommy Troy is here as nice. Well. Some
Gino
of the guys.
Groover. Let's go.
Gino Groover is there. We talked about him a little bit yesterday. Yumin Lin, even though he was sent down to minor league camp, that doesn't make any difference in this situation. Some of these guys were never in major league camp to begin with. Christian Robinson is here, someone we've seen quite a bit of in these Cactus League games. Hans Luis, Christopher Torin, a couple of middle infield prospects that have emerged. Ruben Santana is another guy, third baseman that we've seen emerge on prospect lists, kind of a Davison De Los Santos-esque, lots of power there. So yeah, there's a lot of exciting names here.
Anna.
And Christian Mena. We've only seen him throw one inning in the Cactus League so far. So, yeah, I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Tori, we asked Tori about this, and, like, he did say that there is some confusion, not just on the dates, like, by me, but by some of the younger players, right? Because some of them are still actually with the team. They're still competing for spots, and yet they're also on this spring breakout team.
Sure, yeah,
which
that's
makes
fair.
It almost like that these are guys are the future – but not now, and yet some of them
are even on the 40-man roster, right? Like Blake Walston's on the 40-man roster.
Yeah, I mean, Torrey is going to tell you that these guys have a you know, are competing for roles on the team. I don't know how much that I really believe that. Jordan Lawler,
they believe it either, right?
Jordan Lawler is on the list. I guess he has probably the best chance of anyone to make this team, and I think there's basically a 0% chance that he makes the team, given what we've heard about the Diamondbacks wanting to make sure that he gets playing time.
Yeah,
and that opportunity just clearly doesn't exist in the majors. Jorge Barrosa is also on here. I guess there's maybe some universe where Jorge Barrosa could wind up on the opening day roster. Yeah, I think these guys are probably going to open the year in the minors, but they, you know, a lot of them could have an impact before too long for sure.
That's it's going to be fun though. Again, it's a great chance to go out there and see all of these guys on the field. And
yeah,
you know, again, Drew Jones, that's going to be fun. That's like, obviously that's the big, you think he'll actually play?
I hope so. I mean, that would be kind of sad if they do the spring breakout game and he's on the roster and he doesn't play.
I need to see all these guys.
There is, I mean, it is a big roster. Like, I mean, yeah, you have,
that's what I mean. You have like, what, like six outfielders?
You have seven outfielders. It'll have to be, you know, one group maybe for like four innings and then another group for the rest of the game or something. But yeah, I just love the idea of having all of these guys in the game at once. Like in the Cactus League, you do see some exciting young prospects, but it's kind of just like one per game or, you know, for a few innings. It's more of a here and there thing.
And they swap in and out, so you never know when they're going to come in, who they're going to replace. Right. They're probably not out there sometimes as some of the other exciting prospects, you know, because...
And the rosters are so... I mean, there's so many substitutions happening that it's hard to keep track
of who's...
It's like, oh my gosh, Christopher Torrey just came in the game. I didn't even notice that.
Let's be honest. Me and this guy, we spend most of the game sitting in the clubhouse watching it on a TV because we're waiting to interview players. So like,
that's fair.
We have no idea what's going on half the time because there's no volume on and then we're not out there. But again, that's why this for us is even exciting, because it's a great opportunity for us to get a chance to see some of these guys play that we've talked about so much and that are the future of this franchise. That's the important thing to remember here, is the next Christian Walker is in this group. The next Zach Gallen is in this group. Hopefully they're that good.
Like, yeah, but that, I mean, saying, that's pretty high expectations of some of these guys.
Hey,
there.
Zach Gallen was a guy that we just traded for at one point. Let's not forget that. But it's a great opportunity. Exciting. Also, Apple TV announced Friday Night Baseball is back. So that's very fun. I once again am your mayor of Phoenix, thanks to Heidi Watney. So that's exciting. And the Diamondbacks,
we really hope that Heidi Watney is.
Oh my God! Games. Please, for the love of God, get me an interview with Heidi Watney. I'll wear the mayor sash. I'll just wear the sash. Thunderbolt's here. He said, "Is it doom yet, Thunderbolt? Not yet. You go back into the wherever. Go back into waiting and hiding. I don't know where you hide until something terrible happens, but not yet." And he's attacking me, telling me I look like a nerd. How dare you? I'm sitting next to this man.
Needs a pocket protector. Nice.
Give me your glasses. All right. So Apple TV announced a Friday Night Baseball schedule for the first half of the 2024 season. Diamondbacks have three matchups, one in April, one in May, one in June. All very exciting. April 19th against the Giants. May 10th against the Baltimore Orioles and June 21st against Philadelphia Phillies. Those are some great games. They picked some absolute stunners to have on Friday Night Baseball.
They really did. Yeah, I mean, I was looking through the Diamondbacks' first half schedule and looking through all the Friday night games, trying to figure out, like, oh, did they miss anything? The one game that stood out was April 26th against the Mariners, a road game in Seattle.
That would have been cool, yeah.
That, I think that you could make a case that that would be a more fun game than at the Giants the week prior.
Sure, but in their eyes, it's a division rival. It's the NL West.
I guess.
A spicier matchup than the Mariners.
Yeah, I mean, although there's so many players who are now on the Diamondbacks who were on the Mariners and vice versa.
Oh yeah, no.
There would be some fun storylines there.
You know ball. Like, why are you? Everybody knows ball. Not everybody's going to put all of those connections together. You know that. Well, you and I know that the Seattle Mariners is a more exciting matchup because we play the Giants a billion times, and playing the Mariners is always going to be. Sly is here asking us to turn the mics up, wants to hear Max scream from the other room. We can do that, absolutely. I'm gonna be over there with a mic right in his face, so don't worry. I will make sure
fantastic.
That everybody hears my Max scream. I saw the placement of the tattoo, by the way. Anyway, all right.
So, I don't know. Yeah. I don't want to know what that means.
No, but yeah, I mean, you're right. You're right, though. The Mariners would have been definitely a fun matchup. I don't care about the White Sox. I don't care. Like, I honestly, like, because we see the Padres and the Giants and the Dodgers and all that so much, it's those aren't nearly as exciting as like the Baltimore Orioles. I think that's a really fun matchup.
Yeah, the Orioles one is great. The Phillies won on the 21st. That's the first time the Diamondbacks see the Phillies in 2024. So that's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be on the road in Philadelphia. You know, I'm sure the Phillies fans will not be giving the Diamondbacks a warm welcome back to Philadelphia. So yeah, these are all fantastic games. The Apple TV broadcast last year was really interesting. They were throwing all sorts of like probability numbers in the corner of the screen that kind of made my brain hurt, and I didn't really understand them. But a lot of the camera angles that they had, and I think the quality of the broadcast was top notch. So I'm excited to see what these look like.
Remember when you played fantasy football and like sometimes the probability would be in your favor, but as the day progressed, you would see it change.
Yeah, right.
And that happened a lot to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of what happens during the course of a game. Sometimes factors cause the probability percentage to slide one way or another.
I mean, it's within individual at-bats, too. Like, they were doing it based on, like, in a 1-0 count, what's your chance of getting a hit? Or I think they had the chance of scoring the runner from second or whatever. You know, leave it to Apple to get all numbers with everything. But, of course, I'm not opposed to that sort of thing.
No, so. I'm not either. I love all of that stuff. Of course, we will be very excited to watch baseball. Can't wait. All this stuff. Spring breakout, Friday night baseball games.
3 weeks great from time. Today, Derek. Three weeks from today is opening day.
Opening day. We're going to have all sorts of fun stuff happening around here, too. Not just Max getting tattooed. We're going to have like an opening day watch party out here in the Grotto area. We're going to be there at Chase Field. So make sure you keep it locked pregame, postgame, right here to PHNX. Of course, you can, in the meanwhile, Get your shit together, okay? And when I say that, I'm going to tell you this. Is that aggressive? Was it too aggressive?
That's a pretty aggressive way to start an ad read.
I'm just going to say, you have some time before opening day. So now is the time to get some stuff done. It's a great time because once baseball starts, of course, our lives are over at that point. And if you're a baseball fan with 162 games a season, your life might be over as well, at least productivity-wise. So make sure that you get all the stuff you need done. Make sure you get all those repairs done around your house. Of course, now's a great time to go out there and get yourself some new flooring from our friends at Empire Today. Empire Today, you get shop-at-home convenience, the right product for your needs, quick and professional installation, and a price match guarantee. They also service their own warranties, so you don't have to go out there, try to track someone down, find out which third party has to fix whatever. They got you covered. They also have a virtual floor designer, which will allow you to look at the new floors in your space, see how they look in any room. That way you don't have to worry about going to a showroom or doing all those things we hate to do. We can all do it at home. It's a wonderful, wonderful at-ease thing by Empire Today. And they can schedule you a free in-home estimate today. All listeners can receive $350 off when they use promo code PHNX. Restrictions do apply. See empiretoday.com/PHNX for details. And I found out that Empire Today does, in fact, have carpeting that looks like it belongs in an arcade. So I think I might be calling them very soon to fit my office with the perfect flooring that I need. Of course, I do spend a lot of time at home. And when I'm not at home, I'm at the ballpark. But this guy over here, he loves to take adventures. I mean, he literally was out by my house telling me how beautiful. What lake were you at?
I was right by your house, Derek. Yeah, you should know this. Yeah. What's the big blue lake right by your house?
I don't know. I don't really go anywhere. I go to Chase Field in this office and, you know, all around town, or mostly just the ballparks here in town.
But Lake Pleasant.
He was out at Lake Pleasant.
It's amazing, by the way. Amazing. Underrated.
Was that your first time there?
It was my first time there.
Interesting.
And in my head, it was like a very, I don't know, kind of industrial, very, very man-made looking lake. And it was very, very nice. See? It was very lovely.
So you can discover new places just like this, like Jesse did with the Arizona Lottery and their new unique ticket promotion called Arizona Adventure. There are three ways to play and win big in this promotion. Of course, you can play with Arizona Adventure Lottery tickets featuring three iconic landscapes. You can also check in at geolocated adventures at 10 destinations across the state, from Flagstaff to Yuma. Our PHNX Coyotes crew got a bunch of people hooked up and started on that adventure. And that is a wonderful thing to do. You can go
all around town, Mesa, Phoenix, Prescott, Sedona, all over town. There are, of course, 10 destinations across the state. You can check in at destination coordinates on the website, or you can enter tickets online, and you can do all of this for a chance to win $1 million in cash and Arizona travel prizes. Arizona Lottery says proceeds from ticket sales support environmental conservation, among other important initiatives across the state. So visit azadventure.com for more information on how you can take an adventure with the Arizona Lottery and for a chance to win $1 million in cash and Arizona travel prizes. Well, that's all I got. There's talk about who is Max. Max is our ad man. Max is very important around here. Max is the guy who is about to get tattooed right now. So make sure to join the Phoenix Rising crew over there. I'm going to be doing that myself. I'm going to make Jesse do all the hard work while I go watch Max get tattooed and drink beers. But of course, we thank you guys for stopping by. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at @Cap_Caveman. Jesse is at Jesse N. Friedman. We are now, then, and always will be Damon's dogs. Yeah, I know. I'm making a bold claim.
There is at least an undeniable Jesse? Period of time where we weren't Damon's dogs.
It was brief. I wasn't going to address that when we were Ryan's dogs. We're still Ryan's dogs, but we are Damon's dogs. Of course, he is our producer, the people's producer, and you can follow him at Damon Dog. That's DAWG.
Bark, bark.
Bark, bark. Thank you. Okay. Our show's at @PHNX_DBacks, but all roads do lead to @PHNX_sports on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We thank you guys so much for stopping by today. We appreciate your time. And remember, kids, baseball is fun, but it's so much more fun when you don't have to drive out to Surprise to see it.